Welcome to First Christian Church, and as I have said several times today, Merry Christmas Eve Day. As we go farther through the year, you have to say less. Tonight will be Merry Christmas Eve, tomorrow Merry Christmas, and then you don't have to say it. But hopefully you keep it in your hearts all year long. Let us turn off all of our electronic devices as we listen to Lonnie's prelude.
Thank you.
And the congregation said, Amen. Hail Mary, the Mother of Christ, our King, indeed. Thank you, Lonnie. That was beautiful. Good morning again, and welcome to First Christian Church. We'd like you to take a moment to fill out the friendship sheet on the pew there. Put in your information and send it back to the middle. We are happy to have you, whether you are a longtime member or a first-time guest. If you are a guest, please leave your contact information so that we can have a way to get to know you a little bit better. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see the list of events, the calendar for the week. Tonight, we have one Christmas Eve service at 7, and we do have childcare available, so we'd love to see you back here this evening. The church office will be closed on Monday and Tuesday. We see the announcements. Scholarship applications are due by January 8th. Please read the qualifications and check with Judy Baker if you have any questions. We are in desperate need of sign-up for snow removal and scripture readers. One's a little heavier work than the other, but we would really appreciate anybody who can to sign up for either of those duties. I know that tonight we're probably going to be okay because it's supposed to be sunny all day, but who knows what next week is going to bring. So we would certainly appreciate that. Some sad news to share. Pat Buck let us know yesterday that she had gotten a letter from Grace Sahlstrom's son-in-law saying that Grace passed away on December 11th. I believe that there's information online, but I don't know if there is an obituary in the Casper paper yet. And we haven't heard from the family, so we don't know if we'll be doing a service here or not. But our prayers to Grace's family at this time of loss. Are there any other announcements? All right. Please prepare for our opening carol, number 129. Lift up your heads as we stand and greet one another.
Emmanuel.
It doesn't say that
twice.
To sing it twice.
Right.
In
so
the,
right.
It doesn't say that in the bulletin.
Oh, it doesn't?
No,
okay.
Not that I see. It's over here. So you might want to let the congregation know.
Okay. Then we'll make sure it's done. Yep.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Come, wander where lion and lamb gently play.
Where evil is banished and faith takes the day.
A babe in a manger to fool the world's eyes.
One candle is lit for God's glowing surprise.
Please pray with me. Lord, just as Mary waited eagerly for your birth, so we too stand in eager anticipation for Advent to be over and for Christmas to come. Each year at this time, we celebrate all of the blessings that we're given. And of course, the first on the list is you, the life that you led, the death that you had so that we could live. We ask that you keep us in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, as we proceed through Christmas and into a new year filled with expectations and things that we don't even know about yet. But with you at our side, we know that we can handle and weather any storm. We ask these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Advent guides us toward Christmas by providing a time to reflect on our spiritual lives. The Spirit of the Lord that was made flesh in Jesus also comes upon us to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to those held captive by sin.
Each Sunday during Advent, we have lit an increasing number of candles in the Advent wreath. In contrast to the world around us, growing darker with shorter days, our sanctuary grows even brighter with more light. Our anticipation increases as the birth of the Holy Christ Child draws near.
On this Christmas Eve morning, we invite you to join in singing all four verses of the carol, When God is a Child, found on page 132 in the Chalice Hymnal. Each verse tells the meaning behind each of the four candles in our Advent wreath.
As we join our voices in song, may our hearts be joined together in welcoming the hope, peace, joy, and love of Jesus Christ.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Thank you for lighting the candle. We're not going to sit down today. We're all going to stand up here so that you can see the nativity scene. This is what is called a creche set. That's kind of a funny word, creche. Can you say that? Creche. It sounds kind of like crush, but it's not creche. Creche is a word from Italian, and it means cradle or birth. And a creche scene shows the place where Jesus was born. So at the very middle of the nativity scene, there's a manger. It's kind of like a feed trough, a little wood container with hay, but that's where baby Jesus slept. That was his cradle. One of the nice things about a nativity scene is that you can move the figures around. You can rearrange them when you tell different parts of the story. For example, we have three wise men bringing gifts. Would you hold that for me? Would you hold one? Here's another wise man. And my guess is that the wise men might have ridden on the camel. Do you want to hold the camel? So at this point in the story, today is Christmas Eve. So at this point in the story, Mary and Joseph are on their way to Bethlehem. We know that they're going to find shelter in a stable, and maybe there might be a cow or a donkey hanging around the stable, but they would be the only ones there. The wise men are still traveling. They've been following the star, but they're not here yet. And in church, we don't even get to tell that part of the story until after Christmas. We tell that part of the story on January 6th on Epiphany. So if the wise men are traveling and they're still far away from the manger, where on the table would be a good place to put them? What do you all think? Quite a bit away. And you know what? If we want to be technical about it, the story in the Bible tells us that they saw the star in the east. Does anyone know what direction east is? That way's north. That way's south. So this way is east. So maybe we want our wise men way over here in the east. They're still at their home or they're traveling. If you all have wise men and camels, could you put them over here someplace? We'll let them travel. They've got a long ways to go. Good thing they get to ride a camel. They'd get awfully tired. Now, another part of the story that we'll hear about tonight at our Christmas Eve service happened on Christmas Eve, the night when baby Jesus was born. An angel appeared to shepherds. Let's see, who didn't have a wise man? You get a shepherd instead. Shepherd, a couple sheep. Did you get to hold somebody before? Okay, you've already helped. We want to make sure everybody has a part. So the shepherds are out in the field. They're taking care of their sheep. And an angel appears to them, and the angel tells them the good news that Jesus is born. And then they decide, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing we've heard about from the angels. So where do we want to have the shepherds? Do we want them far away? Do we want them close to the stable? Are they already there? You all can decide what part of the story we're in. Since we have wise men over here, maybe we can put the shepherds over there. And if you want them already at the stable or far away, you all can decide. So go ahead and put the shepherds and the sheep down. And the sheep are really close to the shepherds, so they're going to take good care of them. And I like the way this shepherd is already looking towards Bethlehem. He's already walking. He's on his way. This year, downtown in Casper, we had a nativity display. There was a whole shop full of all different kinds of creche sets. Lonnie loaned us one from Malawi. Becky loaned us this one for our church here. Downtown, one of the nativity displays that I really liked had figures that represented kids your age dressed up to tell the Christmas story. And what was really cute was one of the little girls, maybe about Madison size, she was dressed like an angel, and she was holding a cookie. And the donkey was about to eat the cookie. There's all different ways that we can tell the story of Christmas. And the best way to tell the story is so it comes from your own heart. This Christmas, I invite each one of you, in your own way, in your own words, to tell your mom and dad or your friends, your family, when you're celebrating Christmas, to tell them that Christ was born because God loves them. That's what we mean when we say Merry Christmas to someone. We're celebrating Christ's birth. Let's join hands and we'll have a prayer together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the gift of Christmas, for your birth, O Christ, that we celebrate with such joy. Lord, help us to tell the story from our hearts to all the world. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. And you all can go back to your pews or go to Worship and Wonder. Is there Worship and Wonder today? No, then just sit with mom and dad. There is a nursery if any little ones need to go downstairs. On the back of your bulletin, there is a list of prayer concerns. As we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today in worship. We are praying for the family of Grace Sahlstrom, having heard of her passing. We are also praying for others who are grieving or struggling with depression in this season. We pray for all of those whose hearts are heavy, as well as for those whose hearts are light. The card shower this morning is for out-of-town members. We have quite a few. Today, we are lifting up the members of First Christian Church Casper South. We have a lot of folks who have moved to Cheyenne. And so today, I encourage you, if you know any of those people, to write a prayer card to them. We will send them greetings. Dave and Verla Jurdy have lived in Cheyenne for a while now. They're well settled and enjoying it. Bob and Laura Glasspool have recently moved. They are thankful to be close to family and have a beautiful home that they're enjoying settling into. Jack Waltz sent a Christmas letter to the church. It's posted on the bulletin board. He is happy and thriving and surrounded by his grandsons as well as children in the neighborhood where he lives. Prayers for Bernice Riley. We know that this will most likely be her last Christmas on earth, and we pray for a peaceful journey to heaven for her. We lift up all of those who are in treatment for cancer, for those who are struggling with health and other concerns. We continue to pray for many on our list. There are several folks who need your prayers. Prayers for Sharon Warren. She lives in Illinois. She suffered a spinal stroke about 6 weeks ago. She is able to get out of bed now with great assistance, but she is not strong enough to walk yet. Her family has installed a wheelchair ramp, and they're hoping that she'll be released from the hospital on January 11th. Sharon's kids and husband will be traveling to Chicago to be with her for Christmas. Prayers of recovery for Terry Morrison and for Bob Malloy. Brother and sister like doing things together. They both had foot surgery this week. One on the left, one on the right. They're both here this morning with boots on and doing well, so we praise God for that, and we pray for healing for both of them. Several of you have special guests here today, and we are so honored to have family with us this morning, a son, a daughter, grandchildren. Teresa Dugan, a former member of our congregation, has moved back here to Casper from Nebraska. We're honored to have her with us today as well. So welcome to all who are visiting this morning. It's a privilege for us to have you celebrate Christ's birth here at First Christian. The missionaries we're lifting up today are Andy Jepson and Lindley Kinnick, who serve in Sri Lanka. We pray for the members of First Christian Church in Manzanola, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you would like to send greetings to them. Are there others this morning that we need to name? Other things we need to pray for, other joys we want to share? Peg.
Florida to enjoy the snow.
Prayers for Dan's niece, who's had a return of cancer. Debbie. Prayers for those who received blankets and warm clothing at the sandwich ministry yesterday, and prayers for those who will be cold tonight who don't have a roof over their heads. Ernie. That is good news, and we rejoice with you, Ernie, that your uncle is free. Becky.
I called Billy Triplett this morning to offer him a ride to church, and he was not well enough to come. And a joy, I'm going to be a grandma.
If you couldn't hear, Becky is going to be a grandma, so congratulations, and we are excited for all of your family, and we pray for a healthy pregnancy for your daughter-in-law. Prayers for Billy Triplett. I visited with him last week, took him some Christmas goodies from some of the women at the church, and he was having a hard time breathing, just really kind of struggling with his health. He really wanted to be in worship this morning. So, Becky, thank you for offering him a ride and bringing us an update. Prayers for Billy for his health. Are there others today? Kristen. Indeed. Let us turn to the Lord now in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Holy Lord Christ, as we prepare to celebrate your birth, we rejoice in the gift of hope, for we know what it is like to despair. We give thanks for your gift of peace, for we live in a world torn apart by violence and hate. Oh, Jesus, we pray for your everlasting joy to touch the hearts of those who need it most. And on this fourth Sunday of Advent, O Christ, we are truly thankful for your gift of love. We thank you, Lord, for those we love, for family and friends. We thank you, God, that even when we are alone, we are beloved by you. Lord, we marvel anew that your love is so great, that you came for the world to save us while we were yet sinners. Help us this Christmas to be filled with your love. Gracious God, we pray this day for your blessing upon all those that we have named. We lift to you the Jurdies and Glass Pools, Jack Waltz and Bernice Riley, our friends from First Christian Casper who now live in Cheyenne. And we pray for other former members of our church who have moved near and far to be close to family and loved ones. We pray your blessing with them. And we thank you, God, for those who have called this place their church home in the past and who have returned. We pray a blessing upon their journeys. Lord, we ask you to be with Buzz as he recovers from a car fender bender and a broken finger. We join with Dan in praying for his niece as she goes through cancer treatment. Lord, we pray for courage. We ask for comfort for Grace's family as they mourn her passing. And we pray for all who grieve. Lord, we pray especially for those who will be facing Christmas alone for the first time. We pray for those who will have this first Christmas without a dear loved one at their side. Oh God, in the midst of sweet and tender memories of years past, there is an aching for the change of a year when one we long to have with us is no longer near. We pray for those who have an empty chair at their table, an empty place near the tree, an empty place in their hearts. May your love come and dwell in those places. Lord, we ask for healing for those who are sick or suffering. We continue to pray that you will watch over Billy Triplett, help him to breathe well, help his strength to be in the measure that you would give according to your will. Oh God, he is so thankful to be back in Casper. We pray that he will know the support of friends here. We pray for Bob and Terry both as they recover from foot surgery. And Lord, we lift to you prayers of thanksgiving and joy. We rejoice with Peg that she is back here in worship. We rejoice with Ernie that he'll get to see his uncle at Christmas time. With joy, we give thanks for Becky's news that she'll become a grandmother, and we pray for a healthy pregnancy. And Lord, we give thanks for the joy of sharing blessings with others. We give thanks for each blanket that was handed out yesterday at the Sandwich Ministry, for each gift of warm clothing, for gloves and jackets and hats that went to people who need them so desperately. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would watch over the homeless in our community when it is so cold. Help them to find warm shelter. Oh, gracious God, our needs are many, and yet you fill them all. We give thanks, Holy One, for your birth which shines still, the light in our darkness. Inflame our hearts with the light of your love, that this Christmas we may share the gift of Christ with all we meet. Amen.
Our communion hymn this morning, number 158, Her Baby Newly Breathing, speaks very graphically about a mother and child. It talks about Jesus nursing at Mary's breast. And I think that this is such a graphic picture, but it is so important to realize that God understood that he needed to come to earth in human form so that we could understand, so that we knew what life was going to be about, that his life and death and resurrection was something that human beings could see manifest. They could see God. And so when we talk about a newborn baby, it makes perfect sense that we would be talking about how a mother would care for that child. As we sing our hymn today, remember that, and remember that that child grew up to be our Savior.
Thank you.
Our hymn reminds us that strivings, yearnings deep and wide, be cradled in communion and fed and satisfied. We come to this table with our own yearnings and strivings, our longing to have our sins forgiven, and here we are cradled in God's love as we remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we celebrate the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus. We come to this table to be cradled in God's love. All who believe in Christ are welcome to share in this feast as the bread and the cup are passed. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
In flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you for sending your Son into the world as a tiny baby lying in a manger. We come together at this communion meal at Christmas time to celebrate his coming. May the cup we drink be a blessing as we seek a deeper sense of his presence, and may the warmth and love of the Christmas season embrace our lives as we break the bread. Fill us with your Spirit, so that we may share the joy of Christmas with others. Amen.
If you have not had the chance to fill out a special offering, you could still do so for Christmas. All Christmas offerings stay in the Central Rocky Mountain region doing the work of the church right here in our area. We are so blessed by the abundance of things in our lives that sometimes we don't even realize it. We take for granted so much of what we have. And yet, it's on this day, Christmas Eve, that we need to remember that everything that we have and everything that we are comes from our Lord. And so, give generously so that the work of God's church can be done in the new year and for years to come. The diaconate will now collect our offerings. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of your Son and the gift that that brought to us years and years ago and even to today. We are not worthy, and yet it is our job to strive to be worthy of that gift. Thank you for the gifts that have been given today to continue to do the ministry in this church, in this community, and around the world. Amen.
To answer a question I've been asked this morning that others may be wondering, this evening's Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock will be different than this morning's service. Both services focus, of course, on the message of the birth of Christ, but tonight you'll hear a different sermon than the message this morning, and we'll specifically be singing different carols. I know that many of you, like me, enjoy singing the carols of the season. And so this morning's service, this morning's message, will be shared through hearing scriptures of the Christmas story and singing beloved carols of the season. We are celebrating a festival of lessons and carols, which is a traditional service to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Through Bible readings and carols and hymns, the festival of lessons and carols tells the story of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth God's Son. Please follow along in your bulletin so that you are prepared to sing the appropriate stanzas of each carol following the readings. We begin in Isaiah.
From Isaiah 9, 2, 6, and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let us join in singing number 134, Emmanuel, and we will sing it through twice.
From Isaiah 11, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Please join in number 164, Good Christian Friends Rejoice, the first two verses.
Right.
Our third reading continues from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 35 and 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Let us sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn 150, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
We continue to hear Luke's story of the birth of Christ from the second chapter, the first seven verses. "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Let us sing "Away in a Manger," the first two verses on page 147.
We continue with the reading of Luke 2, chapters 8 through 16. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among them who he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Please join us in singing 154, verses 1, 2, and 6, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks."
Our story of Christ's birth concludes with the poetic telling from the first chapter of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all peoples. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all would come to believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He was in the world. He came to what was his own, and yet his own people did not accept him. But to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. and the Word became flesh and lives among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Let us sing together number 159, 1 and 3. We greet in the cradle our Savior and King. We greet Christ at the manger, the lowliest of places. We greet the King of salvation, the Prince of Peace. When we say to one another the simple, familiar phrase, Merry Christmas, we greet the place in the human heart where God's love still chooses to dwell. If your life this day needs light to shine in the darkness, needs hope in the face of despair, needs peace and joy, then turn to Christ. If you're looking for a church home, or if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or perhaps you've walked with God for a long time but feel you've wandered away, it's time to return to the Lord. This morning, we extend to you the invitation to open your heart to the presence of Christ. If you want to make a public confession of your faith or join First Christian, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together all the verses of number 149, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
There are refreshments waiting for us downstairs. What would a Christmas celebration be without a little noshing along the way? There's coffee and sweets. We hope that all of you, visitors and members alike, will stay for a time of fellowship for just a few minutes before getting on with the festivities of celebrating Christmas Eve. A reminder that our service this evening begins at 7 o'clock p.m. There will be nursery care available. We will have candlelight and communion and, of course, close the service with singing Silent Night. We encourage you to bring relatives or friends, neighbors or coworkers with you to celebrate Christ's birth. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, through the story of your birth and the songs of the season, our hearts are lifted to praise you. Now we fling wide open the portals of the human heart so that you, O Jesus, may come and dwell in us. For all those who seek a home and seek shelter, O Lord, we pray that they too may find a place to dwell. Come, O God, be with us. Be our Emmanuel. Bless us with peace as we go forth to celebrate the birth of Christ and to tell the story of God's love. Amen and amen.